Screamed, debris filled the air, and the rain of blaster fire abruptly came to an end.
Lead the way.
The four of them entered the building. Ryan, Jack, Deborah, and Clarissa hurried down the steps, taking them two at a time. They all had their blasters at the ready, expecting a sec man to turn the corner on them at the bottom of the stairs, and they'd have nowhere to run. But they made it down without incident.
Left or right?
Right.
A crack of a blaster echoed from down the hall, and all three took cover against the wall of the stairwell. After several seconds of silence, a second shot rang out, followed by a groan and the sound of a falling body. JB was the best at recognizing the sounds various blasters made, and could sometimes even identify the type of ammo being used. But even Ryan knew enough to identify the sharp crack of a .38 caliber Czech-built ZKR. It was possible that a SEC man was now using Mildred's target pistol, but the spacing of the single shots and their accuracy told Ryan all he needed to know. He called out in the direction from where the shot had come.
Mildred?
Who wants to know?
Me, Ryan.
Mildred turned the corner, blaster raised in case it was some sort of trick, and then smiled.
It's good to see you, Ryan. And I have to admit, I would have even been happy if it were Doc instead of you.
I'll have to tell him.
He'll never believe you.
Where's Christy?
The Baron took her hostage when the lights went out.
Ryan turned to Deborah.
Where would he have gone with her?
Depends on what he wanted to do with her.
If he's smart, he'd probably want to get away.
Then he'd go to the barn and try for a wag. But I think I just might be able to stall him before he tried that.
How?
Give me a gun and you'll see.
Mildred tossed her over a 9mm Luger. Then Ryan, Mildred, and Deborah began moving back up the stairs, but Jack and Clarissa remained where they were.
What's wrong?
Sister prisoner in basement. Promised rescue for help.
All right, you go with her, Jack. Mildred comes with me. Deborah, you know what to do, too. Jack, if you're not outside in 20 minutes, we'll come back in looking for you.
Won't have to. Not be there.
Without another word, the three groups went their separate ways. Ryan and Mildred heading up, Jack and Clarissa heading down, and Deborah heading back to the Baron's office, the Luger hidden under her skirt. Baron Fox returned alone to his office to find the red-haired breeder still waiting for him as he'd commanded, although she seemed to be breathing heavily.
Come with me.
As you wish, Baron.
Deborah had had just enough time to return to the office, as the Baron, upon leaving the nursery, had taken Christy to his new sec chief, Fillinger, and instructed the man to use the red-headed beauty to convince the one-eyed outlander to leave the farm without destroying it completely. If it worked, wonderful. But even if it didn't, he'd be safe and in a position to reclaim the farm in no time. When the Baron reached the dungeon, he found a sec man standing guard there.
Make sure no one comes down this hallway. No slaves, muties, outlanders, not even any sec men. Understood?
Yes, Baron.
Baron Fox pushed the breeder past. Farther down the hall and around a corner, the sec man heard a heavy door open, then close, and then the sound of a heavy mechanism locking into place. And then, only silence. The slaves opened the doors to their cabins. It was true. The one-eyed outlander had spread the word that there would be something happening that night, a chance for escape, for freedom, and now it was happening. There were dead sec men everywhere, falling like ripe fruit at the end of the season. Blaster fire cut them down like axes, and their remates were being scooped up by slaves, the new masters of the farm. Muties were running through the complex, eating everything in sight, especially uniformed sec men. It was total chaos, and the slaves had never been happier. Jasmine, the black-haired former breeder who had become Brody's soulmate, could hardly believe her eyes. Slaves ran from cabin to cabin, some carrying blasters, some with tree branches, all with wild-eyed excitement in their eyes.
Brody, come look!
She stepped out of her cabin.
They're chilling a sec man over there, doing him with his own blaster.
Brody hobbled out of the cabin as fast as his bum leg would allow and joined her outside. About 25 yards away, four slaves were kicking and beating a sec man who'd been caught out in the orchards alone. They had shot him in the belly with his remate and were now taking great pleasure in torturing him before letting him die.
Ryan was telling the truth. This means we're free.
Jasmine shook her head and looked away. She was an older woman, well into her 30s, and had been a slave so long she feared her own freedom. Everything had been provided for her in the past, and she'd become comfortable with that. Being free meant fending for herself, feeding herself, and finding her own way in life. The thought of it terrified her.
I don't know if I can do it, Brody. I'm scared. And what about our son? We don't even know where he is.
We'll find him, I promise. We can leave here, all three of us. We could go to one of the Eastern Bills, maybe another barony. But whatever we do, we'll be doing it together, as husband, wife, and child.
Brody's words gave Jasmine confidence and a reason to hope. Jack and Clarissa passed the nursery and rounded the corner to the dungeon, then stopped and backtracked around the corner again. A sec man stood guard in front of the door that led to the dungeon. He was armed with a 12-gauge pump-action blaster, and he looked determined not to let anyone get by him.
Must chill.
Clarissa put her hand on Jack's arm.
No, we need him alive.
Why?
My sister and the others are chained to the dungeon wall. We'll need keys to unlock and set them free.
Jack nodded, then reached inside his coat for one of the leaf-bladed throwing knives he kept hidden. He balanced the knife in his throwing hand, mentally counted to three, then rolled past the corner into the hallway and came up onto his knees to make the throw. The knife sailed straight and true, catching the sec man in the right bicep and involuntarily forcing open his right hand. The blaster fell to the floor with a heavy clang, and Jack got to his feet, his huge Colt Python leveled at the sec man's chest. The sec man grabbed at his wounded arm with his left hand and tried to kneel to pick up his long blaster.
No.
Give us the keys for the dungeon and he won't chill you.
Fuck you, you snow-headed muty freak!
Jack squeezed the trigger and blew off part of the sec man's right foot.
Where are the keys?
The sec man was too busy writhing on the floor and screaming in pain to answer. Jack pushed the barrel of the python against the man's genitals.
Please tell me where the keys are before my friend makes you lose your favorite body part.
The sec man stared at Jack's big blaster in horror.
There's a master key in my right pocket.
He fished inside his pants with a trembling hand and produced a key on a lucite fob that had a picture of the falls on it in all its pre-dark glory. Clarissa took it from him.
Thank you.
Jack raised the python to the sec man's head and looked at Clarissa.
Lose lot blood. Die anyway.
She nodded. Jack looked at the sec man.
Not muty.
Ryan and Mildred were back outside the front doors to the main building, looking for Christy and her captor. The courtyard was in shambles and utter chaos. The bloody remains of several sec men were strewed across the ground, several of them in the very circle in which Ryan had fought the day before. Muties ran through the compound, eating fruit, brandishing weapons, and generally making up for years of hunger and near starvation. There were sec men still in the complex, but they all seemed to be trying to escape out the front gate, like rats jumping off a sinking ship. It was obvious to them all they'd lost the battle, and now they were just saving themselves.
Where are we going to find Christy in all this?
Ryan scanned the complex.
I know from experience, there are 100 places to hide out in.
She could be anywhere, though.
But then Ryan saw something, a familiar flash of Titian hair, and he knew that their search was over.
You can stop looking. She's found us. There. But who's she with?
Mildred followed the line made by Ryan's finger as he pointed.
That's the Baron's new sec chief. Name's Fillinger.
Fillinger stood on the roof of the main building with Christy in front of him. Her hands were bound behind her back, and he had a large blue blaster pressed to the side of her head.
Hey, one eye!
Ryan looked up, but said nothing.
I got something you want.
He's too far for me to try with a six sour.
Mildred gauged the distance, wind, and the slight movements of the target, and shook her head.
Oh, he's got Christy too close. If I'm a fraction off, she's on the last train west.
Are you out there, One Eye? I want to make a deal.
The last thing Ryan wanted was to make a trade or strike some deal for the lives of his friends. Trading blasters and goods for food and shelter was one thing, but trading humans for those same items was just plain wrong. But this wasn't just any human the sec chief was holding hostage. It was Christy, his friend and lover. He'd listen to the man's offer, but try to figure out some other solution in the meantime.
I'm listening.
You leave now and take your friends with you. Your outlanders, the muties, all of them.
There were a few moments of silence. So far, the deal wasn't sounding very good.
And?
And Red here won't get chilled.
That's not much of a deal.
Best.